Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show, the Big Monday edition. How you doing, Dom?
Happy Monday to you, Crudy. Feels like a Friday to me, Evan, working the board, our fair audience. Great to be with you all.
Oh, that's right. You're traveling.
Yeah,
you're vacationing, European style.
I'm already checked out. No, it's like 70 degrees in Milwaukee. I got the top back on the car. It's a beautiful day in the Midwest. We've been waiting for this a long time.
A little off topic, but you know, I have a new midlife crisis, a rag top.
Yeah.
Can't figure out how to put the top down. I'm going to have to call the dealer or something.
YouTube it, man. You'll be fine.
I there might be some small service issue. I might have to take it in. Yeah. There's a button. It's just not responsive.
Give it the fines, man.
Hey. Dom, this will be a very big show. In no small part because we've got sort of some big guests. And they're coming in studio here in the Solidarity Realty Studio, joining me very soon. And the big guests are Julian Assange's father and brother. And they are named, want to make sure I get everyone's named accurate, John and Gabriel Shipton. Differing last names. I didn't know Julian Assange actually took on the last name of his stepfather. But John and Gabriel will join me just a little bit right here in Madison, Dom. They have an event tonight at the Barrymore Theater. That's why they are in town. You can still get tickets, my understanding, at barrymorelive.com, $9 in advance. You better hurry up. The show is at 7 p.m. this evening. And John and Gabriel are, in no small part, going to advocate to release Julian Assange. Ithaca, a fight to free Julian Assange, with an original score by Brian Eno, followed by a panel discussion with John and Gabriel Shipton, again, the father and the brother of Julian Assange. And the moderator is our pal, John Nichols, locally from the Cap Times and, of course, from The Nation magazine as well. A frequent guest here, friend of the Devils. And John, you know, sort of as a prelude to this appearance, Dom, John has written an article over at the Cap Times. I think we need to share some of this. And, you know, before we do, you are an absolutist on many topics, but I am something of a press absolute freedom person, at least if the news is reported accurately. If it's the facts, I think you should be able to report damn near anything without any fear of repercussion or retaliation from the federal government, state government, or anybody else, as long as you are putting accurate information and presuming I'm not the one that stole it.
Okay. All right.
Information.
So there's a few qualifiers in that statement.
From the journalist's point of view, I don't think the journalist should actively go on. I don't think there should be a Watergate. I don't think that journalists should somehow be given release under freedom of press to go and break into someone's building and steal information. But if someone brought that information to me, if Daniel Ellsberg brings me the Pentagon Papers, you bet your ass I'm publishing. That is my belief. So anyways, you maybe take a slightly differing tack. By that logic, by my logic, Julian Assange should be freed.
Your logic also precludes some very specific qualifiers, and I'm there. I think the the hard question is, when does the act of journalism flow into, you know, conspiracy to commit a crime? I don't know when that is. If you're getting information anonymously from Russian sources and you decide to print them, okay. If you're seeking them and coordinating with the Russian sources, at some point there's
factual information.
Factual information. But you mentioned if you go in and log and do the hacking yourself, then publish, you cannot claim journalism. Maybe you can, but maybe you still get in trouble for the hacking.
Well, you know, I'm not clever enough to hack. So from my own perspective, from Crudy's prism, hacking could be excluded.
There's a range of behaviors and activities that are, of course, hard to distinguish. And it's a legitimate and difficult question. I generally would err on the side of caution. Absolutely. If it's out there, if there's information that the public does not know and the government is doing on our behalf and in our name, I think once it's out there, we have the right to know.
Well, I hope our audience will learn something this evening. Perhaps they'll go to the Barrymore event at 7. Tickets very affordable, $9. And I'm going to read some of John Nichols. He's the associate editor at the Cap Times. I'm going to start with John's latest. John writes, I've written frequently, not Crudy, John Nichols. He's smarter than me. I've written frequently about the case of Julian Assange, the controversial editor and publisher who founded WikiLeaks in 2006. Assange drew international attention in 2010 when WikiLeaks published leaked evidence of U.S. troops fatally shooting 18 civilians, including Reuters journalist Nabir Noor Eldin and his assistant, Saeed, I can't do Saeed's last name, there's no vowels, from a helicopter in Iraq. The video of the shooting sparked an international outcry, and Assange has for many years been the subject of investigations by the U.S. Department of Justice, and eventually was charged under the Espionage Act. Assange is currently in prison in the United Kingdom, where he is fighting extradition to the U.S., as mentioned, tonight at 7 p.m. at the Barrymore Theater, John Nichols will join in a discussion of the Assange case and the important freedom of the press issues it raises. The event, which is hosted by the Progressive magazine, our friends Norman Stockwell and company, will include a screening of the film Ithaca, which deals with the case, in a panel discussion featuring Assange's father, and we'll soon have him in studio, John Shipton and brother Gabriel Shipton. Both are joining me. Here's what John wrote last fall about the growing concern on the part of journalists regarding the potential consequences for a free press if the prosecution of Assange goes forward. I quote John Nichols, "A united front is needed to fight the threat to journalism posed by the Assange prosecution. The New York Times and major European publications recognize the U.S. Department of Justice's pursuit of Julian Assange as an attack on press freedom. Now say it louder." I continue. Media unions, independent journalists, and civil libertarians have for 3 years argued that Julian Assange must not be prosecuted by the U.S. Department of Justice for obtaining and publishing classified documents that revealed the extent of the U.S. wrongdoing in Afghanistan and Iraq. Now, as the WikiLeaks founder fights extradition from the United Kingdom to the U.S., they've gotten some powerful allies. In a letter dispatched Monday to Attorney General Merrick Garland, it ain't Merrick Garland Day up here yet, Dom, the New York Times joined four major European publications, The Guardian, Le Monde, Der Spiegel, and El Pas, I believe it is, to argue that the attempt to go after Assange using the Espionage Act sets a dangerous precedent and threatens to undermine America's First Amendment and freedom of the press.
Crudy, I'll jump in here again in the Cap Times, John Nichols writing. This is from an event last fall. The concern is that by prosecuting Assange under the draconian law that was written in 1917 to prohibit interference with military operations or recruitment during World War I, the Justice Department could create a new tool for intimidating investigative reporters who simply seek to inform the American people about what is being done in their name, but without their informed consent. This is not the first time that major media outlets have decried the targeting of Assange for prosecution. Nor is the new letter as bold as the statements that have come from groups such as the International Federation of Journalists and the American Civil Liberties Union. But the letter does represent a major thrust by some of the most powerful names in international journalism to get Garland and the Justice Department to rethink what has come to be seen as an attempt to criminalize common practices by investigative journalists. The letter recalls that the five publications worked with Assange when the so-called Cablegate documents were uncovered, revealing the unvarnished story of how the government makes its biggest decisions, the decisions that cost the country most heavily in lives and money. It notes that the journalists and historians continue to publish new revelations using this unique trove of documents. Unquote. Yet the letter also acknowledges that for Assange, the publication of the 251,000 confidential cables, quote, had the most severe consequences. On April 12th of 2019, Assange was arrested in London on a U.S. arrest warrant and has now been held for 3.5 years in a high-security British prison, usually used for terrorists and members of organized crime groups. Assange now faces extradition to the United States and a 175-year sentence. The prospect that such a sentence could have a chilling effect on journalism is the overarching concern of the joint letter. Another quote from the letter. Holding governments accountable is part of the core mission of a free press in a democracy. Obtaining and disclosing sensitive information when necessary in the public interest is a core part of the daily work of journalists. If that work is criminalized, our public discourse and our democracies are made significantly weaker. Unquote. 12 years after the publication of the Cablegate, it is time for the U.S. government to end its prosecution of Julian Assange for publishing secrets. Bravo! It's about time that the publications that worked with Assange weigh in on a clear defense of the WikiLeaks founder and of journalism. The one frustration I have, again, John Nichols writing here, the one frustration John has with the letter is that it does not specifically call for dropping a narrowly drawn charge that targets Assange for assisting Chelsea Manning, who was a U.S. Army intelligence analyst at the time of the leak, in what the Trump administration's Justice Department decried as a computer hacking conspiracy. The narrower charge, based on the U.S. Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, was developed in an effort to expand options for prosecuting Assange.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got some fine guests coming very soon. Julian Assange's brother and father. They're doing an event at the Barrymore Theater at 7 o'clock tonight. You can still get tickets. $9, barrymorelive.com. But stick around. The Devil's Advocates will give you a preview, and we'll start the debate. 844-967-2789. It's going to be a big Monday edition indeed.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Find us on the socials at Devil Radio on Twitter. Of course, the Devil's Advocates Radio on the Facebooks.
Ebone, new rule. Don't turn down the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Make them talk louder. Yeah. Like this.
Oh, yeah.
Just got to rock it out, Dom. Thank you to my sweetie for giving me tickets, Red Hot Chili Peppers. You could have been my plus one, Dom.
I'm sorry, man.
She's not a big fan. Trip. You actually have taken me to the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, they're so good. I love them.
I got to tell you, the stadium in Minnesota, ginormous. U.S. Bank Field, where they play the football games. And I'm not sure, but they utilized approximately 2/3 to 3/4 of that stadium. You know, wow. They set up a stage, and then they've got, you know, 3 stories tall of fans, just this enormity of humanity. And I looked down, and it was like they were sending smoke signals. You know what I mean? Like the freedom yeah. wafting through
freedom
the air.
Freedom in the air, right?
I got to tell you, I've always tried to respect indoor stadiums like that. Like, I just don't believe in smoking indoors. In the shiny new football facility. You know, that place is going to smell like skunk till like football season, dude. How do you air out a stadium of that ginormity? It's got to be a little musty in there.
A lot of hot boxing going on.
Oh, it was something terrible in the best sort of way. But I stayed above the fray, Dom. but not up in the third balcony. I got to tell you, I'm not a big guy for heights. And I moved down. We moved down. You could kind of stand on the outside of the seating area on the lower bowl.
Yeah.
I'm up there in the nosebleeds. And great, dead-on seats. Like, my wife's like, well, I picked the straight-on seats. I'm like, yeah, a little closer next time. But anyways, hey, guys, how you doing? Some young guys trying to join the show. Sorry, when they're making faces, you got to acknowledge them out there, Dom. So anyways, had a good time at the concert. You get so disappointed in me. I mean, aren't we trying to engage with the audience?
Yeah, you could engage and acknowledge them and still stay on your, you know, chain of thought. But
I'm talking about a concert I went to Saturday night. If I didn't tell this story from start to finish, would you be missing out? So I had a good time. Big honking stadium. Smells like weed now. That's the story. Thanks, baby. And, you know, I came down and stood on the lower bowl because I was too chicken, you know what, to sit up. I was holding on to my seat the whole time. Like, you can't rock out of the class if you're holding on like you're in turbulence on an airplane.
You can't sit down at a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert, man. That's not allowed.
No, it got better when I moved away.
When Flea sits down, you can sit down.
Yeah, he didn't sit down, dude.
No, hell no.
Anyways, had a good time. Thanks, baby. Going to the NAB next week, Monday and Tuesday. Going to have to find some fine fill-in hosts because apparently Bomblastica is going to take care of the gear for the weekend. Max Sync Radio got a big event going on this weekend. We'll give you more details later in the week. And Dom, big event at the Barrymore Theater tonight, Ithaca. A Fight to Free Julian Assange. That is happening with John and Gabriel Shipton, who are the father and brother of Julian Assange. And it's being moderated by John Nichols. We were referencing John's column over at the Capital Times, Dom. And I know we didn't get to all of it. perhaps the conclusion.
Go ahead. There's not a lot left in that. Go ahead, Curdy.
Okay, I was just going to read the last two paragraphs. Is there more you think I should get more meat on the bone than that?
Nope, knock it out.
Okay, last two, three, four paragraphs. The letter from the New York Times, The Guardian, Le Monde, Der Spiegel, and El Pas answers the call in large measure. But at this critical juncture, there should be no lack of clarity regarding the extradition charges against Assange. That's why it is important that the message of IFJ's Journalism is Not a Crime campaign to be amplified, not just by media outlets and fine journalists like the Devil's Advocates, but also by civil rights and civil liberties groups. Last year, the ACLU, Amnesty International, USA, and Human Rights Watch warned the Justice Department that a precedent created by prosecuting Assange could be used against publishers and journalists alike, chilling their work and undermining freedom of the press. That was a quote, Dom. Their letter specifically expressed concerns about, again a quote, criminal and extradition proceedings related to Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, under the Espionage Act and the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. It also acknowledged that while the signatories to this letter have different perspectives on Mr. Assange and his organization, they were and are united in their view that, and here is also a quote, Dominic, that the criminal case against him poses a grave threat to press freedom both in the United States and abroad. And on that part, Dom, I am a free press absolutist. I don't think that journalists should be prosecuted for doing their jobs. And how do you define journalist? However I want. Depends on my mood, right? Like,
in some regard, but no, I mean, there is a general definition of what journalism is, and if you're operating within that scope, absolutely, freedom of the press. And again, where is the line crossed?
Well, with the U.S. government in military actions when they don't want that information shared because they're doing something that we, the American people, may not be so agreeable to.
What if it's things that are not necessarily that we would be disagreeable with? What if it's state secrets, something along those lines? You know, something that is harmful, although not necessarily, you know, killing of innocent civilians and Reuters staffers in a live war in Iraq, other circumstances.
How about treatment of detainees at Abu Ghraib?
Right.
I mean, we needed to know that those practices needed to end. Waterboarding and worse, that's what was exposed on. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. Got two fine guests joining me in the Madison studios. John Shipton and Gabriel Shipton, the brother and father of Julian Assange. Big event going on at the Barrymore Theater tonight. You can attend a screening, Ithaca, Fight to Free Julian Assange. $9. Get the tickets now while it's still advanced. BarrymoreLive.com. Come back. More Devil's Advocates with John and Gabriel.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I've been joined here in the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison, WMDX, by two fun guests, John and Gabriel Shipton. They are the father in John's case and the brother in Gabriel's case of Julian Assange. There is a event going on tonight at the Barrymore Theater. Some of our friends putting it on, including John Nichols. And gentlemen, you're going to have to tell me if I'm pronouncing the name of the title of the movie right. Ithaca?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, pretty good.
Ithaca, A Fight to Free Julian Assange, with an original score by Brian Eno. There will be a screening and then a conversation moderated by John Nichols. So, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming here and being a part of today's big show.
A pleasure, Mike. Thanks.
Let's start from the perspective. John Nichols talked about a letter that was written on behalf of Julian. Basically, a letter written by other newspaper outlets, both domestically and in Europe. And they effectively are asking the Department of Justice and Merrick Garland to not prosecute your son, John, in this case, on espionage charges. Let's pick up from there. You are advocating for his release. Do you think any charges are appropriate at this point, sir?
No. You know, the releases that Julian did were done simultaneously with those five great newspapers, what we call legacy newspapers, the New York Times, Le Monde in Paris, El País in Madrid, and The Guardian in London, and Der Spiegel in Berlin. Now, they all did it simultaneously. So there can be, of course, no charges leveled against Julian as it's a public service, and the First Amendment allows for that. The balance of the 1 to 10 of the Bill of Rights also have been contravened in the case of Julian, even though he's not a U.S. citizen. The application of extraterritorial espionage charges against an Australian citizen working in London is more than extraordinary. Equally, the treaty between the United States and the United Kingdom over extradition disallows political extraditions. So that's a fulsome answer to your questions. There is no reason, no solid reasons, sound reasons in law for this pursuit.
Also, Mike, you've got...
Go ahead, Gabriel.
Yeah, you've got all the largest press freedom, human rights organizations in this country, in the United States, all calling for Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice to drop these charges. So you're talking about the ACLU, you know, Human Rights Watch, Freedom of the Press Foundation, all the largest ones, Amnesty International. There's a group of around 25 who wrote a letter to Merrick Garland just after that New York Times letter from the publisher. So about 10 days after that, Merrick Garland got a letter from these groups all calling for the charges to drop because of what they see as these charges as a threat to press freedom. I mean, if you go through this indictment and you actually read the indictment, you know, it's criminalizing not just journalistic activity, but publishing. So, you know, publishing of classified information, dealing with sources, and possession of classified information is all illegal if you were to follow this indictment.
Gabriel, John Nichols, a local columnist and moderator this evening at the Barrymore Theater, called this prosecution draconian, and the use of the Espionage Act for this purpose is draconian against your brother. We know that WikiLeaks was a lightning rod, and we know that they crossed the U.S. government, but do you think that a effort specifically is being made to effectively chill, to restrain Julian Assange's efforts in this matter? Is this to send a message to other journalists, independent or of, you know, the New York Times variety?
Yes, certainly. And that's, you know, this message that has been sent is, you know, if you do this sort of thing, if you publish this sort of information, classified national security information, information about war crimes, you know, war crimes in Iraq, government corruption all through Latin America, that this is what's going to happen to you. You will be locked in a prison. You know, Julian spent 4 years in a maximum security prison fighting this extradition. He's only held there at the request of the National Security DOJ. He's not serving a sentence. You will be locked in this prison. You will be held incommunicado. You will be taken away from view. Julian hasn't been allowed to even attend any of his court proceedings since January 2021. And so this is a sort of a message that's been sent to publishers, to journalists around the world, that if you do this sort of thing, this is what could happen to you. And that's why you see, you know, all around the world in parliaments, we have these bipartisan groups calling on the Garland Department of Justice and the Biden administration to drop these charges. You have groups in Australia, there's 50 parliamentarians, a quarter of the parliament, bipartisan from every party. Similarly in Germany, there's 80. In the United Kingdom, there's 30 from every party. You have all these groups who are saying that this is a threat to our societies, our democratic rights within our countries, for our journalists and for our publishers to do their critical role that they have in democracy, which is, you know, holding governments to account.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is Gabriel Shipton. He is the brother of Julian Assange and his father, John. Join us in the Madison studio. Gentlemen, thank you for coming around. We appreciate it. When we talked earlier about these other publications, New York Times, Der Spiegel, also publishing some of this information that Julian Assange did, and we're talking specifically about the Chelsea Manning release that showed these journalists and civilians getting killed in Iraq. Is that specifically what we're talking about?
Sure,
or are there some of these other releases?
Sure are, yes. They were exactly the same as you just mentioned. The Iraq war files, the Afghan war logs, the cable set, and the Guantanamo Bay files, and the rules of engagement. So that all of those the charges, of course, limit themselves and do not include the collateral murder video that describes three war crimes. I think it's had 20 million views now. That's not included, but all of the rest, as you say, are.
And as a citizen of this country, when our country acts on our behalf and those kinds of issues, I certainly want to see that. And I think those that release that information should be protected under our current laws. There were other releases. I want to get your sense. My understanding, the CIA hacking tools as well, and also working with Guccifer 2.0 and Roger Stone, kind of getting more into a political issue with regards to the 2016 election. Do you see a distinction between what started out in 2010 with these releases and what ended up being in 2016 with this campaign kind of interference situation?
Oh, gee, that's a... Well, let's deal with one item at a time. Now, in 2017, the head of CrowdStrike, who was called in by the DNC to look at their servers. For some reason or other, they didn't use the FBI, testified under oath to Congress, to the Intelligence Committee headed by Adam Schiff, that there was no evidence of exfiltration of anything, files, from the DNC servers. That is, the only conclusion available is that they were downloaded on a DVD or a thumb drive. That testimony to Congress was held back and only released in 2020. So we know full well that the Guccifer, what would you call it, canard or lies, you know, to be more forthright, let's just call it a canard anyway, are untrue. That's one. So that the foundations of those accusations remain unable to be verified, and as a consequence seem to be the lies they are. If we may say so, the leading candidate in the polls back then was Bernie Sanders. This is important to remember. And the DNC files revealed that the DNC committee had manipulated the primaries so that the winner of the primaries, Bernie Sanders, was cheated of his win and another candidate put in his place. That candidate didn't have the support that Bernie Sanders did have. And as a consequence, that candidate lost the following election.
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocates. I have two fine guests here in the Madison studios, the brother and father of Julian Assange. Gabriel, I'm going to address you with this question, Julian Assange's brother. The Biden administration 3 days ago reportedly has made new statements that they have no intention of dropping the charges against your brother. Other than perhaps a media campaign and this documentary that's being screened, in this case in Madison at the Barrymore Theater, 7 o'clock tonight, and you can still get tickets, my understanding. But how do you change the mind of the Biden administration through the DOJ or through the executive branch? How do you envision changing that, those minds?
Well, you know, I think the change, as in many of these sort of public political campaigns, comes from the ground up. It's not going to be a change from the top down in that sense. So we have these public campaigns like touring with the film Ithaca, my father and I. By the mid-April, we'll have done 59 events where we've toured all over the country speaking to people in a sort of grassroots public campaign. And what we've seen now is this sort of moving upwards into the Congress. So people's concerns with the threats that these charges pose to their rights, to their democratic rights, are taking those concerns to their elected representatives. So you see now a Dear Colleagues letter in the Congress led by Rashida Tlaib. Now it's got quite a few sign-ons and probably will get a few more before it's closed. But this is a sort of evidence of people taking their concerns upwards into Congress and really increasing, well, not the pressure. The pressure is probably the wrong word, but you know, increasing the visibility of this case and those people who are actually against it. And I think the administration will, you know, take notice. It's a Democratic administration. This is a group of Democrats within the Congress who are saying that these charges should be dropped. And it's not just us saying that. It's, you know, the New York Times. It's the ACLU. It's all these Democratic aligned institutions who are saying that, you know, these charges are a threat to our democracies, that they're a threat to press freedom. And one thing that we heard the other day that was, you know, that somebody's made this tweet and it says, there's no America without a free press, and there's no free press without a free Julian Assange.
Well said, sir. I've got more questions. I'm not sure how tight you guys are on time. Do you have a few more minutes for us on the other side? Really appreciate it. Gabriel and John Shipton, they are the brother and father of Julian Assange. There is an event going off tonight, and it is Ithaca, a fight to free Julian Assange. Our friend John Nichols from the Cap Times, from The Nation, will help moderate. After the viewing, there will be a conversation, and we're having a little more conversation with John and Gabriel Shipton. When we come back, I want to make sure I got your names right, gentlemen. I hope I didn't missay it. I often do that. More Devil's Advocates on the other side. Speak, monkey, speak.
Corruption.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the glass.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of this fine program, please go to civicmedia.us, click on the shows tab, look for the Devil's Advocates for podcasts and interviews.
I have two fine guests here in the Solidarity Realty Studios in Madison, WMDX, John Shipton and Gabriel Shipton. John is the father and Gabriel is the brother of Julian Assange. Gentlemen, I know you appeared recently on Fox News, and during the course of that interview, someone threw this one at you. I want you to address the accusations of former National Security Advisor John Bolton against Julian Assange. On that program, they quoted Bolton as saying Julian had committed clear criminal activity. John, you don't see it quite that way.
With John Bolton, this is somewhat, you know, like that was the image of in that cartoon of Yosemite Sam, you know, with his flapping his hand and drawing his guns and shooting into the air. No, it's clearly, you know, some decline of moral integrity to charge a publisher with publishing information, particularly as we find it's inconvenient to the group that John Bolton belongs to. There was never, you know, never a war or never more blood spilling that John didn't find himself attracted to, nor defending. The actual charges against Julian, espionage charges. Julian's an Australian citizen in first place, and second place, as I mentioned, he was working in London at the time. And in the furthermore, those great newspapers that we have already mentioned published simultaneously, and equally John Young's site in New York, Cryptone, has all of the information from the Iraq War files, the Afghan War files, the Guantanamo Bay files, and the cable set on his website, and has never been even questioned or had a phone call. So we can see that the pursuit of Julian is done so as an example to anybody that wants to report upon national security matters, whether classified or whether actual reportage and analysis. We can see that. We can also see that the exercise of certain sections of the United States using the United States laws to reach out into other communities and judicially kidnap those that they don't like. Now, this is a contortion of international diplomatic relationships, and as a consequence of that, the Australian Prime Minister has said that he sees no purpose in these charges, and enough's enough, has raised the matter with the appropriate level of institutions in the United States, and they are meeting again in the next couple of weeks, and we believe that the matter will be raised again.
You're listening to The Devil's Advocates, two fine guests in the Madison studios. That is John and Gabriel. I've got the next question for you. They are the father and brother of Julian Assange, Gabriel Shipton. Let me ask you, new reporting at Truth Out released earlier today, Peter Handel, the author, I'm not sure if you've seen this newest piece on your brother, Julian Assange, but the headline, CIA's War on WikiLeaks is a scandal worthy of congressional investigation. First and foremost, sir, do you think this is a CIA-directed war on your brother? And do you think congressional investigation is the proper venue?
Well, certainly there has been a war waged on Julian from certain elements within the CIA. You know, we know that from 2017, when Mike Pompeo took over as CIA director, it was all about WikiLeaks. It was all about Julian, and they were embarrassed. Pompeo was very much embarrassed by the leaking from the analysis that WikiLeaks published about the CIA hacking tools that they would use to, say, hack into your television in your house to turn it into a microphone, or how they would hack into iPhones of the American public. And they were very embarrassed about those leaks, and so that's when Mike Pompeo really stepped things up. And we've seen reports now, reporting done by three journalists in Washington, D.C., that's cited 30 intelligence sources, both current and former intelligence community sources, that said there were plots to kidnap Julian that went as high as the Trump White House. And also the monitoring of Julian inside the Ecuadorian embassy. We know that there were high-definition cameras all put through the embassy, listening devices put through the embassy, where Julian's conversations, Julian's privileged meetings with his lawyers and doctors were all recorded and flown back to the USA every 15 days. The CEO of the security company, who was in charge of all this spying, did over 100 trips to the USA in that period. So we have this evidence from this reporting, as well as leakers who worked for the security company that the Ecuadorians had hired. These leakers leaked all this information, all these security camera footage, to a Spanish court, who is now conducting an investigation. And I think, you know, the American public, when they hear about these things, they are shocked. It is a shocking activity that these legally privileged meetings are recorded, that there were plots to kidnap Julian from where he'd been given asylum in the embassy. So I'm not surprised that there are calls for these sorts of investigations into these activities.
Gentlemen, we have about 2 minutes left. John, I want to ask you, do you have faith in the U.S. justice system? Do you think Julian could get a fair trial here if it ever came to that?
No, not at all. You know, the espionage, what we call and is commonly known as the espionage court in Elizabeth, Virginia, has never had an acquittal. It's utilized for the purpose of insisting that any espionage charge has a guilty verdict. Also, of course, 175 years jail if you're proven guilty. You can appeal, but it'll take you 10 years to get a hearing in the Supreme Court. Gabriel has a little bit more to add on this matter.
Well, just a comment on that Eastern District of Virginia Court. The jury pool there is taken from the surrounding area, which is made up of Defense Department workers, intelligence community contractors, as well as the CIA. So you really, the deck is stacked against you if you're going in into that court. And it's chosen for that very reason. Also, Julian would be kept in, shocking prison conditions here that would lead to a detrimental effect on his health that we are very fearful of as well.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. John and Gabriel Shipton, go see the event tonight. Barrymore Theater, get tickets at Barrymore Live, Ithaca. A Fight to Free Julian Assange with an original score by Brian Eno and a moderated conversation with our friend John Nichols afterwards. Thank you, gentlemen. More Devils. We'll be back. Down.